Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined me today. The Lord will guide you continually. He really does. You are on His mind. I just want to tell you that you're on His mind all the time. He wants the very best for you, and He will satisfy you with good things. And that's from Isaiah 58, verse 11. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also freely give you good things? Romans 8, verse 32. He's freely going to give you good things as you believe in Him and as you trust in Him. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have you join me. I mean, these days are packed. They're packed full. And what a great weekend we had. We were watching fireworks. I know. I had 50 years of going to fireworks and lots of crowds, lots of fireworks, the smell. I think the smell is what's so fun when you are close to those fireworks. But now, after 50 years of going to places to see the fireworks, I am watching on television, and we watched all around the world. I mean, Tokyo and the European countries, and everyone seemed to be honoring President Trump, which is really great. I'm so grateful for that. And I think he's getting respect from so many people. Praise the Lord. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. He's so good. He's so faithful to His Word. I'm going to just tell you right now, I just have a little sinus issue. I mean, it's hanging on, and I know some of you can understand that, but between the smoke and the forest fires and some of the allergies swirling around in Denver, I think it's going to take a little while, but I'm here, and I'm healthy, I'm strong, and I'm just praising God. Let's just join in and saying that God is good. Say that with me. God is good. His mercies are everlasting. His mercies are everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. When we speak the word of God, something comes alive. It actually does in me. So I know that as you speak the word, that Bible verse is going to come alive in you. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And you can listen to Call to Freedom at 9 p.m. at night on KLTT, at 2:30 in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning, and on KLDC, which is 1220. You can hear us at 11 o'clock in the morning. So there's quite a few places where you can listen. And if you'd like to listen to previous programs or the program of the day, you can go to freedomstreet.org, go to resources, and click on radio show. Also, you can get Bible guides through Call to Freedom. You just go through teaching, and it has Bible guides. It also has a newsletter you can download, so you don't have to wait for the mail. Although, if you'd like a hard copy, you can call me at 1-877-917-7256 and ask for a actual physical copy of the newsletter, and I will send one to you. And you can also hear Call to Freedom at 670KLTT.com/call to freedom, one word, lowercase. You can also give online there. And if you want to email me, I'm Barbara@freedomstreet.org. Barbara@freedomstreet.org. Do you know that Barbara, I was born in 1945, right at the end of World War II. And do you know Barbara was the number two name, most popular name? Now, that was you know, 81 years ago. But Barbara was a pretty popular name right after World War II. And I know some of you have very popular names at the year you were born. I think you can go online and see what name, what year that your name was popular, or if your name was popular on the year you were born. It's kind of interesting to go online and check out that stuff. We have a meeting coming up on Saturday, July the 11th, and brunch is at 9:30. And then Bible study and music is at 11 o'clock. We have such a good time, just singing songs of praise and worship to Jesus. And also Bible study. It's going to be really interesting Bible study. We had, last month we had the Bill of Rights for Believers, which I believe was very important to talk about and discuss. And we do. We have a circle that we talk about. We get in a circle in my living room, and we just have a great time of discussion. So remember that, July the 11th, this Saturday, 9:30 brunch, and 11 o'clock is Bible study. If you haven't come, well, and especially if you want to come to brunch, you got to call me for reservation, 1-877-917-7256, and Jimmy will give that to you at the end of the program. Our memory verse for this week, I'm going to go back to Romans. It's just so chock full of great verses. Romans 14, verse 17. And a lot of us did a lot of eating over the weekend. And so we're going to talk about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So beautiful. Romans 14, 17. In the Message translation, Romans 14, and I want to start, at the 17th verse, but go on to the 21st verse of Romans 14, 17. I'm going to talk today about some of the conditions of pre-declaration of independence days, when there was such chaos going on and strife between the colonists and England. We hear of all the joyous cheering going on and the celebration going on this last weekend. Oh my goodness. I mean, millions of people celebrating the 4th of July for the United States of America, just really joining in with Americans. And then the Americans here, I feel sorry for those people that say, we're not going to celebrate the 4th of July, the 250th year. I feel sorry for them. They miss it. They really miss the celebration and the joy of knowing the freedom that we have as Americans. Here is a Message translation of Romans 14, starting in verse 17. And this is the Message. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. You know, your life might be like a puzzle, and there are several pieces missing, and there were in my life. And so you may think, oh, my life is a drudge. I mean, I've got so many pieces missing. No, you don't. When you trust God, he is going to put in those missing pieces. He puts it together and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. That's your task. Believe and receive. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said it before, and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly, if you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. Now, I know a lot of Americans, they overeat, and then they've got this bottle of Pepto-Bismol handy so that they can take that because they've overeaten. Why don't we make a vow? Father God, do not allow my eyes to see something as so good that I overdo it. Because that's what I've done. I have overeaten. I have seen something as good, ate the whole thing instead of maybe dividing it and then eating half later. And I have suffered for it. And it's not fun. It is just not fun. So, you know, you can do that. You can use the Pepto-Bismol. but it's not going to help your body. So why don't we just start working out things that are good for us and that our eyes aren't bigger than our stomach? You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said it before and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly, if you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your own face. I love the message. But to share the life of Jesus. That's so true. It's not just to feed your face, but to share the life of Jesus. I'm learning so much about soccer. 3 weeks ago, I knew nothing about soccer. I was not even interested in knowing anything about soccer. And then I decided to watch a few games, and they were so intriguing, so interesting, because these stadiums are just full, 75, 80,000 people cheering all the time. And so yesterday, I was watching two small European countries, one Norway, who dominated the soccer giant Brazil in an upset. I mean, here were all these light-haired Norwegians, and they play soccer. And then later in the day, the favorite Mexico was defeated by those fair-haired Englishmen. Really exciting matches. And today we see the U.S. playing against Belgium. President Trump was influential in getting Bellingham free to play with his team, and I'm so thankful. He did not say, I'm going to tell you what to do. No, he said, why don't you review with your committee, review that again, and see if it's worthy of a red card that he was eliminated. And so they did. They had a council meeting, and they decided that what had happened between Bellingham and this other player were not worthy of a red card. So he's playing today, which I'm really grateful for, and I think that's going to start about 4 o'clock. Now, those of you who are listening tomorrow, it's already been played, so I don't know what the score is, but God bless you. For the last few weeks, we have seen excitement regarding the upcoming 4th of July celebration of the United States. We enjoy the freedoms of going wherever we want to go and enjoying all kinds of goodness of the land and the views of the land of the free and the home of the brave. In fact, a lot of people from other nations have rented vehicles and gone on road trips across the United States. They are so interested in the American people and the American country. As I listened to President Trump's speech from Mount Rushmore, oh, what a beautiful setting, I realized why so many people want to make the United States their home. It's a desirable place to live and plan a future for our families. I'm so grateful we did. And when we traveled, and I'm more and more grateful all the time. We had a motorhome, and we traveled from the 1974, when we got that motorhome, into 1980, and just went across the United States, saw so many things, the arch at St. Louis, the Yellowstone, the geysers, so many things. Our country is so beautiful. And here is a president who loves the people of the United States of America. I'm just so grateful today. What was it like before those 56 men assembled in Philadelphia on that fateful day of signing a document that they knew might bring punishment upon their heads, and them they died? A few of them died for signing that that paper. Give me liberty or give me death is a powerful phrase from a speech delivered by Patrick Henry on March 23, 1775. At St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, urging the American colonies to fight for their independence from British rule. The speech was delivered during the Second Virginia Convention, a time when tensions between the American colonies and Great Britain were escalating. The colonies had been facing increasing oppression from British authorities, including taxation without representation and military presence in colonial towns. Everywhere you looked, there was military. Oh, wouldn't that be awful to go to the corner, your corner in your neighborhood, and see armed policemen on the corners? Oh, I am so grateful, friends. Even in a state of Colorado, I am so grateful for the freedoms we have. The years before the Declaration of Independence was signed, they're fraught with discontent and realization that Britain was going to tax the colonies until there would be no colonies. It was slave labor, and our American fathers knew something had to be done. There were many secret meetings at midnight and in darkened rooms and taverns with the colonists discussing what could be done. Remember, they didn't have an army, they didn't have the money, and they didn't have a leader at this point. And so it's important to know that God was in the mix all along. Holy Spirit was there, guiding and leading and giving them that wisdom we read about in Proverbs. After the French and Indian War, which was 1754 to 1763, Britain faced a depleted treasury because they'd used all their armament and their weapons against the Indians and the French. And so they sought to recoup costs by imposing new taxes and tightening customs controls on the colonies. We're seeing that in Colorado. Colorado has admitted so many people who are undocumented, and they've given them free housing, free medical care, free food, all the things that we have enjoyed in the past. And you know what? They're taxing us up the hilt. I mean, for everything that we get from the government, we get taxed. So I'm beginning to understand what some of these people were going through. Colonists accustomed to economic freedom resented these measures. Many believed Britain was conspiring to undermine their liberties, and they saw the large British military presence as suppression rather than protection. Now, political and economic grievances were escalating. There was taxation without representation. Colonists objected to rising taxes on everything, like the Stamp Act and the Townshend Act of 1767, and they felt like their rights were being violated as Englishmen. Remember, these colonists were mainly from England and from European nations. They thought that they would be treated equally. They were not. And then there were restrictions on trade and manufacturing, which angered merchants and manufacturers. Frontier settlers and speculators were frustrated by limits on westward movement and Indian trade. Britain was limiting everything, it seemed, to the colonists. Southern planters were burdened by debts owed to British lenders. So there was a lot of loans and lending, and boy, we can see that. If you have a loan and you can only pay the minimum, it's like your Visa or your MasterCard, and you'll only pay the minimum, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. And they made it that way. They did. So the colonists decided to boycott British goods. And that's where the Boston Tea Party came into play. Violent protests turned to mob violence against tax and customs collectors. And the outbreak of the American Revolutionary War in 1775, marked by battles like Bunker Hill and the Battle of Long Island, showed that peaceful protest was no longer enough. So I wish I could get back there and see where some of the battles were fought, Gettysburg, some of those places. Oh, I'm sure there is still an atmosphere, a very quiet atmosphere, but an atmosphere of what they had gone through. And events in the buildup, there was so much unrest that led to the Boston Massacre and the Boston Tea Party. And the Boston Massacre is really interesting. It became a symbol of oppression to the colonists. On the evening of March 5th, 1770, now this is 5 years, 6 years before they gathered together, a confrontation began when a lone British sentry guarding the customs house was verbally abused and physically harassed by a small group of colonists. The crowd quickly grew to 300 to 400 people, throwing snowballs, stones, and other projectiles at the soldiers. 9 British soldiers, led by Captain Thomas Preston, were called to support the sentry. Amid the chaos, one soldier fired, prompting the others to shoot without orders. We've seen that over and over again, where one person is trigger happy and they decide to shoot, and then it goes into an all-out war. They killed 5 colonists, including Crispus Attucks, an African-American dock worker, and wounding 6 others. The event was widely publicized and labeled a massacre by colonial leaders such as Samuel Adams and Paul Revere, who used it as propaganda to rally opposition to British rule. This happens time and time again, all of the propaganda. The soldiers involved were arrested and tried for murder, with John Adams defending them. Two soldiers were convicted of manslaughter, while the rest were acquitted. Today I see the trial and the appearance, I think, of the hearing of Charlie Kirk's, they say, accused murderer. And I'm praying today, because I know that Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, and the parents are going to be there. And that's got to be such a horrible, horrific thing to be there in attendance, right there in the room. All of this turmoil deepened the animosity and feelings of being violated. The Second Continental Congress, convened in 1775, establishing a continental army and currency. Finally, they were deciding, we'd better start getting some money together here, and an army, and declaring the colonies engaged in open and avowed rebellion. And in 1776, American ports were open to foreign trade, while the British were trying to blockade. By the summer of 1776, when the Lee Resolution calling for independence was adopted, the discontent had evolved into a collective determination to break free from British rule. This was it. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. And the years before the Declaration were marked by a combination of political frustration, economic hardship, and military conflict, all of which fueled the push for independence. Praise God for that. But there was a lot of conflict before the signing of the Declaration. As I said before on the program, give me liberty or give me death was a passionate phrase used by Patrick Henry for colonial rights. Recognized that the time for peaceful negotiation had passed, that armed resistance was necessary to secure liberty. Henry emphasized the urgency of the situation, stating that the colonies were on the brink of war. He argued that the British government had ignored the colonies' pleas for reconciliation, and that further attempts at diplomacy would be futile. Henry famously declared, "Give me liberty or give me death." Reminds me of Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they didn't value their life even to the death." And he was encapsulating the sentiment that freedom was worth fighting for, even at the cost of life. He feared that the new Constitution would create a powerful federal government that could threaten individual liberties. And we're seeing that, folks. And his opposition was instrumental in the eventual adoption of the Bill of Rights. So I thank Patrick Henry for thinking ahead and thinking about the citizens' rights, the Bill of Rights for the citizens. Henry's eloquence and conviction not only solidified his reputation as a leading figure in the American Revolution, but also inspired generations to come in their struggles for liberty and justice. His speech is remembered as one of the most significant orations in American history, reflecting the fervent desire for freedom that characterized the revolutionary movement. Henry's life and contribution are to be celebrated as foundational to the American spirit of independence and democracy and for liberty and justice. Praise God. Our forefathers gave credit where credit is due. To God, our Creator, who planned all of this. He did. He planned all of this. He knew what was coming up. God claims the world as His, and He has every right to do that declaration. He created the world. What Moses proclaimed to Pharaoh is the very truth, and this is in Exodus 9, verse 29. "As soon as I go out," he was before Pharaoh here, "as soon as I go out, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and the hail will be no more." That's one of the nine miracles that came from God that freed the people from Egypt. "That you may know that the earth is the Lord's." That was Moses' declaration. "That you may know that the earth is the Lord's." In fact, God created the universe and this planet by His mouth. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, the earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction." filled with galaxies and stars, the vast cosmos he wonderfully made. His voice scooped out the seas, the ocean depths he poured into vast reservoirs. With breathtaking wonder, let everyone worship God, this awe-inspiring creator. He breathed words and the worlds were birthed. Let it be. Let there be. And his words created, his very words. And that's why I love to encourage you to use the word of God, speak it forth, and it will come to pass. And there it was, springing for the moment he spoke. No sooner said than done. From Psalm 33, one of David's wonderful psalms. By the word of God, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, the earth is drenched with God's affectionate satisfaction. Oh, God, through David, says this about his ownership of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. He's the one who pushed back oceans to let the dry ground appear, making firm foundations for the earth. Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. And when you go to the beach, oh, and I love the 4 years I was in college in Pasadena, we went to the beach almost every weekend. And there you saw there the ocean coming onto the land and then going back in, the froth of the seas and the foam of the seas. People flock to the beaches because it's such a fascinating thing to see how the oceans are wanting to come in and invade the earth, but they've got to go back out. God is so wonderful and good. And I say this as we depart today. I want you to know that as you praise God, he's going to fulfill every desire in your heart because you have planned. God's desire is my desire. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's wonderful to note that everything, all men, all animals, and all of creation, even the trees clap their hands in awesome praise and worship to God. Oh, we don't want the rocks to cry out. We want to cry out and praise God in our own special way with our voices. I hope that you're doing that today, my friend. And as you wake up tomorrow morning, if you're going to bed, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you, and I'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in